listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
Come all the way out of Egypt. Man, as I study the scripture, it's funny. Every time from Abraham went to Egypt at least twice, you start seeing these patriarchs, they always go back to Egypt. Egypt can represent sin, it can represent the world, or it can just represent a strong economy. But typically it represents not trusting in God. And I'm not saying it's always easy, but I want to tell you, that is my goal, to do a 5-day here. Why? So we can walk on water a little more. When I have revivals and have people come, and I'm texting and calling and telling you to come on out, don't you know that's nothing but the enemy holding you back from coming out to revival? Amen. Because the enemy don't want you to go higher in God. He don't want you to go further in God. He don't want you to start walking on the water. No, he wants you to stay right where you are to where he has you. And he'll use any little excuse. The average temperature is what? Not 8.6? Pastor, I took my temperature. It was 99.3. Now, y'all don't laugh. I'm trying to do this right, okay? But I'm saying, any little excuse, you know, I locked my keys in the car. You know, I didn't eat dinner today. Y'all pray for me. But you got to know, that's the enemy. Imagine if everybody in the boat was walking on water. Not just Peter. Remember what walking on water represents. That they're walking in the Spirit just like Jesus. Jesus spent all night in prayer. At dawn, he come walking in on the water. He had been with God so long in his natural man to where he started operating like God. Don't you know there's no limitations to God? The limitations are in us. And we're limited because we spend more time doing natural carnal things than we do spiritual things. We can use any excuse in the book to stop from going further and higher in God. And Satan to issue him out. Like crack. Here you go. Here you go, excuse. Take that. Take that. Take that. Take that. And we get high off excuses. Till after a while, you are 3 months behind where your schedule should be in the spirit realm. Because you got sold on something. But Peter walked on the water. He passed the impossible test. That's impossible. In the natural, you can't walk on water. But because he trusted God. Do you trust me? That's all God's saying. Do you trust me? If you trust me, wait. That's the impatience test. If you trust me, you can do the impossible. That's the impossible test. Peter didn't walk on water by himself. He walked on water because he had trust in what Jesus said. He said, Lord, if that's you, if that's really you, you bid me to come. And he came. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me to make a way out of no way? Y'all know the saying. Do you trust me enough to wait until the set time comes? Do you trust me? Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Finally, what about those things that are impractical? They're not realistic. There's no way that could happen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And we almost closing. Can I tell you, the spirit and the flesh, they're not the same thing? Can I tell you, coming to church and being at church is not the same thing? Let me explain. For those of us that have been born again, who have given our life to Jesus Christ, our spirit man is alive unto God. In other words, God knows us in the spirit. Our spirit man is connected to God, but we still live in a carnal body. We still live in a fleshly body. But if we're not careful, we'll be more in tune to our flesh than we are in tune to our spirit. I found even in this revival, there were some nights that I preached. The spirit of God was so high till I really couldn't go home and go to sleep. I come home, but the power of God was just on me. I went to bed in the glory, woke up in the glory. There were other times I went to bed, preached strong, but I felt tired. In those times, I said to myself, could it be that I preached more in my flesh than I did in my spirit? Even though the word was still true, the word was still powerful, what was the difference in the two? I want to say this. You can come to church, and it's always good that you come. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise that you come. It's always good that you come. Don't get me wrong. It's way better than going to work, staying in the bed, washing your car, going to the movies or whatever. It's way better than that. Amen. But when you get here and your flesh can't wait to leave, you got to know that you're more carnal than you are spiritual. Just being honest with you. But when you get here and your spirit man is hungry for what God is saying, know that now you have an addiction to the spirit, and that's the best addiction you can have. You're close to walking on water then. And it may not be the natural water, amen, but you're going to walk over some problems and some situations that normally would take you under. Why? Because you're hungry in the spirit. And that's not to condemn anybody. I just want to encourage you. Seek those things that are above. Seek those things that are eternal. Seek those things that are in the spirit. And your life will be more rewarding. You'll find that you don't need as much carnal things when you're walking in the spirit. Amen. How many find when you fast, you don't desire as much? Yeah, you might be a little hungry, but you don't desire as much stuff when you fast. You save money fasting. Eating, you ain't stopping at fast food restaurants. You ain't going as many places. Why? Because that carnal man, which is always so strong and vigorous, he's now slowed down and a little dead. I think I'll pass. Even if you don't read your Bible, you just slowed up in the carnal. So you saving money, you becoming more disciplined, losing weight. All these things are happening just because you're fasting, increasing your spiritual capacity versus your carnal. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. That's a logical question. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Everybody say, "No word from God will ever fail." That's important. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Now, I want you to see this. This is an impractical situation. When you look at the term impractical, what's being said is is not realistic without God. It doesn't make sense. This is impractical. How can a woman produce a child without the sperm of the seed of a man? But with God, things that seem to be impractical are still possible. The Messiah was born. Jesus Christ was born without the natural use of a man. Listen, she had to trust him for something that seemed crazy. Sometimes when we're asking God for something, sometimes when we're waiting on God, there are going to be people that say, you crazy. You crazy. You giving your money to that church? You crazy. You see this person still sick and you believe in God? You crazy. See, but I thank God for them situations that happened to where even medical science can't fix it. To where you took your child to the doctor and the doctor looked at it, but they don't have no remedy. And it takes you then to be a little crazy. Because you have to be able to say, you know what? God, like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, you have to say, you know what? I'm still going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you to be my healer. And some people are going to say you crazy, but that's all right. You say, I'm impractical, but God is in the possibility of making business. He'll make what seems impractical possible. He'll make what seems to be impossible possible. He'll make what seems to be an impatient wait. If I continue to wait on him, he's going to bring it to pass. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 through 10, you don't have to turn there. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, hear this carefully, through the abundance of the revelations, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, everybody say for this thing. Everybody say for this thing. For this thing. He says, I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Now watch how Paul's mind changed after this. He asked the Lord three times. This is Paul raising people from the dead. Paul. This is Paul being shipwrecked, been beaten, planted churches, raised up leaders. This is Paul. And he says, I asked God who took me to the third heavens. I asked God who showed up, knocked me off my beast, had me blinded for 3 days. I know God. And he asked three times. And God did not give him what he asked for. But watch how his mindset changed. He said, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure, this is Paul talking, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What is Paul saying? Is Paul saying God won't deliver him? No. Is Paul saying he won't take the thorn away? No. What he's saying is, I got enough trust in God to where I'm going to rest in his grace until whatever change he wants to bring come to pass, he brings it to pass. That's the challenge. Because in the process of the wait, God is changing us. So Paul began to say, you know what? God, your grace is sufficient. You know what he was saying? I trust you. Everyone standing. He's saying, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I want to ask the question this morning, is God's grace sufficient? Is his grace enough? Is his grace sufficient when it seems like my answer is taking too long? Is his grace sufficient when it seems like this sickness, this problem, this situation has been going on too long? Is his
You're listening to Pastor Hilton Wells, pastor of Rivers of Living Water Church. If this message has been a blessing,